the reason why perception is so important, because it's not that we see, it's how we see. In other words, what do we allow to say? If I put on, you know, people use the term rose-colored glasses, is because if you wear glasses, it'll change the color of everything to rose-colored. And it's just one of those comments that represents sometimes we shade things in a different way than what they really are. And what God is showing us is our eyes will dictate what we are. And we have to recognize that. So that's why, you know, as we're going to see later, once again, getting ahead of myself, but I'll say it now, the walk by faith, not by sight, is so important to make sure I'm walking using the right lens. My eyes must be my faith, not my sight. And this is what Satan uses. Satan uses our sight all the time. So when we hear that, and we're going to get more on that as we get an understanding of this perception. But we have to recognize that if we're not having the right lens, it's going to corrupt us. So we started, just as a review, we saw that how we see will describe what we are. And that's why it says the eye is the lamp of the body. And if you don't have Christ, because Christ is only the true light, then your light is darkness. It just means that some people's darkness are worse than others. Okay, and that's the part he wanted to make sure we understand. We all have our own point of view, but it's usually dangerously wrong when treated as absolutely right. And, you know, as Sister Carolyn put herself out there, I think all of us have stuff that hits a nerve. And may it be right or wrong, we usually don't react because it's right or wrong. We usually react because it bothers us. So it becomes about us. And that's our perception. And that's where we have to not allow that to dictate us. Our purpose will truly define our perception. So that's very important. God says you are a fool if you look at things only through your own point of view. All disputable scenarios are relative. What does that mean? Disputable, because remember, there's indisputable matters, things that you must have, the gospel, believing in Christ. The only way to God is through Christ. You have to be saved, go to heaven, so on and so forth. Those are things that are a must. So you can't agree to disagree or whatever. Then you have what's called the disputable matters. I like meat. You like vegetables. You don't believe in eating meat. That's your choice. It's my choice. It's neither of them are right or wrong. If that's what you choose and that's what I choose, that's how it works. And because that doesn't go outside of what God commands in our lives. So it's all dependent on the people. The things man looks at are not what God looks at. Keep that in mind. And this is why we have to be careful. Sometimes when we get men preaching and you hear them, it may pull you away from hearing God. So it's so important. That's why I always say, please check me, so you're not hearing my point of view and what I want to give you, but that I'm just being delivering you what God is saying. What and how we see depends on what our minds are focused on. Romans 8 does that whole entire thing on the man whose mind is set on the flesh does the things of the flesh, and the man whose mind is set on things of the spirit does the things of the spirit. And you'll see that in their lives. So a person will be spiritual, you'll see them living that. And a person will be fleshly, you'll see them living that. And this is why on Monday we had the women's question and answer. And one thing I was explaining, be careful not to create righteousness which is not righteousness, because it'll still be fleshly. And people will watch us doing these things that are not in the Bible, and it'll display what we are not spiritual. Keep that in mind. So we have to react based on what God's word is, which is spiritual, not on what we think it should be, which is fleshly. All right. Our perception could truly make us blind and make us lead others astray. That's the bad part. You'll think things, you'll think strong about things, and then people that look up to you will follow you. And blind leads to blind. Emotions clouds perception. Please understand that. You don't know how many times I've heard people say, oh, everything's great, only because they're good at that moment. And they're going based off of how they feel, not off of what they see. The Bible will show us. I know people who have trouble growing for this thing because they're going off of how they're feeling. You know what I mean? If I'm having a bad day or if I'm having a good day, none of that matters. So are you growing with Christ? That's a choice. That's not a feeling thing. That's something that you must choose to do. Any fights or arguments and some declined requests to God are because of you and your perception, is what God is trying to show us. Remember, he says all arguments. If I'm part of an argument, it's my fault. Now, it's also that other person's fault, but I'm not, the other person doesn't matter in this case. It's me. because Christians won't get into that argument. And the only reason why we allow ourselves to get into an argument is because of, you know, the desires that battle within us due to our perception. How come you're not hearing me? Why aren't you doing what I think? And the same thing when God says, you ask, but you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. In other words, how I see it, how I want it. Well, this is what I want. It's for my pleasures. Do you understand that? So our perceptions has to be through him. And if we don't get our perceptions in check, we will miss out on blessings. And in life, a lot of times we probably are. Some people, since we don't understand blessings, we tend to define them ourselves and we put ourselves in bad situations instead of allowing God to bless us. When he says count it pure joy, a person who is truly has the perception of Christ is excited when they go through trials. Why? Because he told me count it pure joy. But a person who's not, right, they're complaining and they'll even say stuff like, all right, God told me count it pure joy and it better when this is over. I better get what I think I should have. And they're basically in a worthless spot. And we have to recognize that, but it depends on what you're looking through. Okay. Path to deal. When we started the path to deal with perceptions, we saw that we must focus using the correct lens. That was the main thing we left off with, that lens that we had to have. And we ended it with, we live by faith, not by sight. And the live by faith is just as important as the not by sight. Okay? You can't live by faith and sight. They're going opposite directions. And if we're being honest, this is what messes us up. This is exactly what our faith is usually based on how we see it. So it's really not faith. Okay? Faith becomes our eyes. Faith becomes our sight. So God will definitely allow things that we see that make absolutely no sense, but to see what we react to. Am I going to react to that enemy or am I going to love that enemy because of God? So you see how that faith, if I'm responding to it, will trump the sight, but it depends on which one I'm responding to. So that's where we last left off. So now we're on recognize the only absolute truth is Christ. Now that's with everything. The only absolute truth is Christ. When he says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And I always tell people, keyword, the. He didn't say I am a truth. He didn't say I am a way. He didn't say I am a life. He didn't say I'm one of those things you could pick, but there's a whole bunch of other ones out there. I'm just a better one. No. He's saying I'm it. You can go to a building and they say, and the building can have 500 doors. And they'll tell you, but only one door leads outside. So it's the door. So you can say, I'm going to go find any other door to go outside. He just told you the answer. There's only one door. And what God is letting us know in this, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and life, no one comes to the Father except through me. This truth, this way, this life encompasses every decision we make. Okay? We have to recognize it engulfs every decision we make. Everything we do has to fall in through the way. Okay? Don't make a mistake of just making this title, the way, the truth, and the life, just based on what we call religious things. No, this is going to go on my relationships. This is going to go on my finances. This is going on my entertainment. This is going to go on my rest. This is going everything. Is it really through the way? And Christians blow it because we kind of do what the world does and then we dabble in Christianity. We dabble in what the Bible says, but I do my own thing. And as long as it makes me happy and as long as I'm good and as long as I. And we're not doing the way, we're sprinkling some of the way instead of living the way. You got to get that concept in your mind. It'll readjust some major things. In fact, it'll readjust some basic things in your life. You'll see some things you're going, you know what? All this time I've been doing this thing. I didn't see no harm in it, but it goes against the way. It's not in line with the life, right? And it's not following the truth. It's outside of that when you really look at it. But if you don't look at it, you will be misled. That's why he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's letting you know all these people that say they're Christians. And not only for me to recognize when they're false, it's for me to recognize when I'm false. Okay? To be a Christian, I have to come to the Father. right? And it's only through Christ. So every aspect of my life will be shown Christ. Everything that I say and do has to display Christ. And every purpose and everything I live for has to be Christ. See, all Christians are to be the same mind, and that mind is Christ. Now, here's where we blow it. Reason why we're all separate, and you always hear me talk about, we got what, 2 more weeks and this whole mess is over, and then we start over again in 4 years. But throughout the time, you still have Christians with Republican minds, Christians with Democratic minds, Christians with Southern minds, Christians with Northern minds. We have Christians with American minds, European. You see the problem here. See, it should be, I am an American with a Christian mind. Or even to make it better, I'm a Christian who happens to live in America, right? Because reality, my citizenship is in heaven. So he stresses in these couple of verses here that we are supposed to have the same mind. And like I said, what devastates me when I watch these seasons come by, I don't see people working on us coming together as one. I see us trying to convince the other person to come together as us. Y'all catch that? So we're not saying, hey, let's sit down and these beliefs that I feel strong about, let's go in God's word and make sure that everything we're thinking is in line with God so we all can be on the same page. We go, I can't believe you're looking at that person. And you go, I can't believe you're looking at that person. And then we follow conspiracies, we follow all this stuff, and we're going against his command. Look what he says, 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. He says, finally, all of you, that's everybody. So let everybody know that in case you didn't know. So that's every one of us, what? Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. So all of this goes together, okay? But the unity of mind is the way we think. How can we do that? By eliminating us and just have Christ. I don't want what you think, and you don't want what I think. We want Christ. So we're growing into understand truly what would Jesus do and what does Jesus want us to do. I mean, it literally should be somebody who met me should hear me talk, and then I leave off and they start talking to you and you just leave off where I left off. You'll start off where I left off. And why? Because you're not thinking like me and I'm not thinking like you. We're both thinking like Christ, right? So all of these things we're supposed to have, the sympathy, the brotherly love, the tender heart, and the humble mind. Now, all of these qualities are basically non-existent. We usually claim Christ, kind of put the badge on, and then move on and do our own thing. We have our attitudes. We have our pride. We have our feelings. We have what we want, and we're being misled one by one. We keep seeing Christians getting caught up in these groups that call themselves Christians or call themselves something else better than Christians or whatever it is, and we're just going tossed back and forth. Why? Because we don't have the same mind. Okay, and what he's stressing to us in the have unity of mind also is that I can go to you knowing you're going to give me the right answer, not your answer, if that makes sense. He goes on to show in verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, bless. Now, if I don't have the faith colored glasses on or walk 100% by faith, this will make no sense to me. They do something bad to me. Oh, no, they're not going to get away with that. You see the problem. But doing something wrong to me when I have the Christ mind meaningless. That's why Christ can watch these people get chance after chance to let him go, have him be killed, and he goes, forgive them because they know not what they do. Why? Because he had the mind of God the Father. We blow it because we still have our own minds. Do you know what they just said to me? Did you see what they just did to my family? Oh, no, they're not getting away with that. And we repay evil for evil. And what God just said is, you're no different than them. You understand that? So when he does go, vengeance is mine and I will repay, I just got put on that list. Even though I can go, but you have to understand, God, they did this to me. See, I've seen that. So if you trusted me, you would have left it to me. I'll handle it. But the minute you did evil for evil, now you're on my list. I'm going to get them, but now I'm going to get you. If we were the same mind, we would all know that. And we'd work to make sure we're helping one another. But we can't help each other because what we do is we give our advice. It's still a shame because today I still watch Christians give their own advice, not godly advice. And it's very, very, very dangerous. He says, for to this you were called that you may obtain a blessing. He's saying, you know, and like-minded, it comes from the Greek word homophron, which means like-minded. Homo means one, you know, the same, single, and phron means mind. Okay. And that's where we get harmony or harmonious from. It's one. It works out in one, if that makes sense. Okay. And then you see in Philippians 2:2-4, it says, then make my joy complete by what? Being like-minded. That's the first thing. All right. So that's still the same mind, being the same mind, Christians saying the same thing. What? That's the mind of Christ. Having the same love. There is only one love. So I can't love you different than another. I know you'll have some, I watch it in parents. One parent believes we shouldn't do this. And the other parent says we should always tell parents, y'all should have this conversation. And it should be a daily thing on how to raise the kids. But that conversation better be going through the way. It's not, I believe discipline and this and that, and this is my feeling. And you go, well, I don't believe in that. I believe this, this, and this. And you give your opinions and y'all come to your opinions and God's not included. You're still corrupt. You're just in agreement with corruption. But when you sit down and you go, this is what I feel based on God's word, we're supposed to see how that works. And then my wife will sit down and say, but, you know, the Bible does say we also have to. And we're working it that we're totally in line with him. So then when it comes time to raise and to punish when we need to, it's in line with Christ. You get this? That's the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. If our spirit, which is just the Holy Spirit, which is God, is the same, we'd be living God purpose. As this election goes through and I'm listening to these commercials and I'm watching them and I'm like, nobody has a God purpose plan. Nobody. They may trickle God at times, but I haven't even seen that. But we will still chase after one or the other. Explain to me why. You know what I mean? I'm not asking y'all to do that. It's something you want to ask yourself. And that's where I'm blown away, where I'm sitting there going, so if they're not God purpose and I'm God purpose, why am I then in allegiance or working with those who are not purposed in God? That's why we're called strangers and aliens. He says in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So the first part is stressing that me and you got to be on the same page. And this part is stressing that page can't be me. What do I mean? When it says do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, in reality, what it's saying is do nothing based on me, that's selfish ambition, or how based on how I see it, that's vain conceit. See, you get a lot of people that in their minds, they really feel right about what they believe. Now, that's fine as long as the belief is in righteousness, the truth, not in what you believe. I'm not going to lie. There are a lot of stuff that the Bible will say, and it goes against what I may feel strong about. So it just shows me how corrupt I am without God. It blows my mind when I see that, when I recognize, wow, Keith, if you were thinking this on your own, you would do this, which shows how wrong you are. So that's why selfish ambition or vain conceit cannot be the answer. It cannot be, but I want, and that's why we should do it, and the way I see it can't be included. But he says, watch this, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Now, what he's not saying is know that others are better, because we're all created equal and we have better spots in different places and all that other stuff. But in my humility, because humility puts me in a place where I can really see what God wants me to see. So in humility, I immediately recognize you as better. Does that make sense? I put you first. And who's you? Anybody other than me. Now, I put you first based on God, not put you first based on you. Many times when I have couples counseling, one of the worst things you can do is they come in and they want one to see it their way and the other wants the other to see it that way. And I'd be a bad Christian counselor if I picked a side. Okay? You don't get married to do things the other person's way. That's not what it means when it says they first. Okay? There has to be a basis. So what I do for my wife, I do put her first based on God. And she puts me first based on God. If I ever put her first based on her, I'm abusing her. She could say, oh, he spoils me. That means I'm abusing her, believe it or not. That's crazy, isn't it? Why? Because I'm catering to the flesh and not to what God says. So when I consider others better than myself and I'm going to be of the same spirit and of the same purpose, then I'm going to display to them God. You understand that? Hopefully that made sense to you. And verse 4 says, each of you should look not only at your own interests, so your interests play a part, they're just in there, but also the interests of others. Is everybody okay with how warm it is? Is everybody okay if the windows are open? Would anybody like something? You always consider others. It's crazy. Now, this is more of my pet peeve, but I'm using it as an example. When have you ever sat in the line and then in the turning lane and the arrow goes off? It's to the point sometimes I'll count. Now, once again, pet peeve. So y'all pray for me. But now I won't lean on my horn or anything like that. I just in my mind go, I can't believe they spent those seconds for the people way back here. Now, the reason why I stopped a long time ago and I make sure I pay attention is I'm thinking of the person way back on the line, not just, hey, I want to get through this era. Mine is, if I don't go, I'm going to hold up these other people. You get this? And I have to force myself to keep thinking that way. And I have to do that every day. Man, I don't want to get in the way because I might be in that person's way. Before I get in line, I'm going to have my mind made up because I don't want to hold all these people up. Do we think that way or do you go, I got in line, so if it takes me a long time, I'm do what I want? Think about it. You understand that? So all of this comes in to us thinking like Christ, putting others first, not allowing us to get in the way of that. So the whole package of our perception is through Christ, through love, and hopefully we as Christians are all thinking together. But the most devastating thing I've seen happen this year, 2020, is Christians didn't hurry up and come together on a lot of these issues. I'm talking about, hey, we need to reach out and talk about this. Yes.
Could that be, all? I don't know, it could get to a point where you're playing to the person's flesh because, you know, the things that you're saying, you know, you're warm enough, you're cold enough. Is that playing to the, I mean,
It can, that's what I'm saying. So you, when it says consider others, and it when it says look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of others. So in other words, if I said, let's say there's three of us in the room, and one says I'm too cold and the other says I'm too hot, I get the temperature where I could, and then you kind of go, hey, y'all, we're just going to have to now. You understand what I mean? You don't allow yourself to be enslaved by what they want. And you get to know that. You get an understanding of that because you're always thinking of God, but you're still considering them. You just don't walk in a room, turn the heat up, and go, I don't care about the rest of y'all. That's what you're saying. Or you don't go, as long as you're okay, I don't care what's the matter with me, even though I'm frostbitten over here. You know what I mean? It's a consideration where you bring it up, you talk about it, you work with it, and you move on. But God is letting us know, always consider the other person. That make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. So keep them in mind all the time. That's a Christian attribute everybody should have. And that's a perception. We don't like that because they won't do it for us. So you don't do it for them to do it for you. You do it for them because you're a Christian. So this is a big part of it. We should be of the same mind. We should be doing and looking in the same way. Now, following Jesus, our attitude must be towards the will of God, not towards our desires. So that this even goes further, and we even got Christ as our example. Watch what it says in 1 Peter 4:1-2. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Now, somebody asked before when they were asking about, there was a question about Christ suffering to learn obedience. Remember, Christ had the same body we have and our bodies desire. Okay, now what does it mean then to suffer in the body? I really want something. So does that play a part in my life? Unfortunately, it does. And I say unfortunately because that leads to sin. You understand that? When you suffer in the body, you say to the body, we are doing absolutely nothing unless it's 100% in line with God. And if I'm not sure, we're not doing anything. Y'all get that? But your body's not going to go, okay, I'm good. Your body's going to go, why? But I'm hungry. Why? But I want that person. Why? I don't want to be here. Y'all see this? You know, our bodies react the way they want, and we just fall in line with our bodies. But it says Jesus suffered in his body. It's saying for us to arm ourselves with the same attitude. I'll go somewhere going, I know I'm not going to want to go there. You understand? I already know that. But in certain cases, I have to go. So since I know I'm not going to be there, want to be there, I'm going to just want to be there. I'm going to beat my body. It says, watch this, because he who has suffered in his body, in other words, told his body no, and the body keeps, you know, being rejected or whatever, eventually is done with sin. Because sin is me giving in to what I want. Remember, it's based off my own desires. But if I never do it based off of my body, excuse me, or my flesh, then I won't sin. But it'll still crave it, and that craving hurts. That's why it's suffering. But when I don't let that craving be my guide, then I won't sin. Think about that. And he's saying we all have the ability to do that. That's why when people go, I can't help it, that, you know, that is a lie. And you're believing a lie. Satan's sitting right next to you. You can't do that. And you're like, yeah, I can't do that. And you're believing a lie. While God's like, wait a minute, what about where I told you can do all things through me who strengthens you? Christ is our strength. So why then are we questioning? Why aren't we just doing it? Yes, it's going to hurt, but that's part of it. It says, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desire. And y'all know the role. The word evil in the translation is not there. So it should say he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desires. You may go, then why did God give us desires? Just to tell me where I'm at. That's all. In other words, there's nothing wrong with my desire saying I would like a bowl of ice cream. Y'all might think, why do I always go to ice cream? Yep, that's one of my favorite things. I think it was manna that came out of the sky. It just didn't melt. But that would be nasty if there was ice cream on the ground. Okay, that's a whole other thing. All right, but human desire. So my desire is ice cream. However, if I just go eat ice cream and my prayer is, God, you should just give me all the ice cream I want. See, I'm living for the desire. However, every time I desire ice cream, if I make sure it's in line with God first. Y'all catch that? So in other words, if it's not in line with God, I don't care how much I crave it. I can't have it. It should make you rethink when I would tell parents, one way to raise your children at a young age is take them to the park. Let them go play to one day. Another day, take them to the park, have them sit on a bench and read a book. And you would see them squirm. Now, humans, by human perception, would call that abuse. Why? Because you're seeing this child is craving and he desires and you're not allowing him. And that's why we're in a condition we're in today, because we've catered and raised our kids and lived our lives based on our desires. And now we're all messed up. But if we controlled that, and raised our children to control that, they would control. They would go, I really want to do that, but I know. Y'all get this? You understand
I'm
that?
I'm getting a little confused.
All right, where
I'm
are you
getting confused? I'm getting a little confused. So are you saying about the ice cream?
Yep.
When you said if the thing, you say God's will, or what did you say?
Yep, well, as long as it's within God's will. Yep.
So are you saying on God's will, meaning that you deny yourself because you don't need it, and you say you're not having it, even though you want it, you know you don't need to have it, or what?
So, and you have to understand, because remember, to know God's will, that goes to Romans 12, 1 to 2. Let's turn there real quick to show everybody that, because that's a good question. And I think and this is where we blow it, because you get somebody that'll come in and tell you what God's will is. While he tells us, no, there's a way to know God's will, that you got to do something in order to know it. So I can't just tell you, hey, there are certain things that the Bible tells us clearly that are its will. But there are other things. I'm sorry, Romans 12, 2. There are other things that we have to learn. And this is how we learn. And it shows us this. And in fact, let me get rid of this here so you can, hopefully everybody can see it. Well, if you can't see it, I'll read it. So it's this right here. It says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what I'm supposed to do. Unfortunately, Christians are not doing that. I'll come back to what that means, but I'm going to show you what the result is. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the reason why we're usually so confused on God's will is because we haven't done this. Okay? We still keep doing stuff the world's way. And we're not changing our lives by doing what the Bible says. So if I haven't done this, yep, you're going to be confused. You're going to be way out because you're going to go, so am I supposed to have ice cream? And you're just going to sit there and ice cream is going to melt and I'm going to come take it. But do you understand how that works? Do you understand? So I can't say to you, yes, it's God's will for you to have ice cream, or no, it's not. It's going to be an understanding of life, but I have to be in the right frame of mind. And this is, he gives me the answer here. That's why I tell everybody, any new Christian, read Romans 12. Because Romans 12, especially 1 and 2, and it goes in order, tells us how we're supposed to be. Unfortunately, we become Christians and we still react like the world. We still conform to what the world, how the world deals with things. We still raise our kids the way the world does. We still get in relationships the way the world does. We deal with hurt the way the world does. You see that? So that means we're still conforming to the patterns of this world. So we blew it. No, we're not going to know what God's will is. But the minute I recognize, hey, this is the way the world does it, and I go to Bible study, I'm in my word, I go to church to find out how does God want me to do it, now I'm renewing my mind. See the difference? And then in renewing my mind is a process of getting how he wants me to do it, and then as I do it, there's a transformation. Does that help?
Not really. I mean, I understand you know, what you're saying about not being conforming and, you know, and I understand that, okay. But I still don't understand what that has to do with whether or not you should eat ice cream.
That's what I'm saying. If you did know that, and the more you know that, the more you mature in that, and that's why we're even doing the spiritual maturity, even on something as simple as ice cream. That's why when he says, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. People don't know what that means. What does that mean? And now we see that in the Bible, and it's as clear as day, and I'm not asking you to answer that. How many Christians can truly answer that? And we know it's in the God. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. What does that mean? And that's why Christians start making up stuff. I don't watch TV. I don't do this. I don't wear these clothes. Where is that from? And where is it? And that's the question. And we get confused. That's why this set of Christians do it this way. This set of Christians do it this way. Why? Because we really didn't stop conforming to the patterns of this world. The more we get into the word, to truly get an understanding of every step we take, we're still not going to know his will. And we keep mixing the world's way of. And like you said, you do understand it, and you're being honest on that, but you'd be surprised how many people struggle and are really not doing that. And I bet even in my own life and your own life, we still struggle with this. I bet you there's a lot more conforming, a lot more still doing stuff the world's way than we are learning God's way. Just look at some simple things in your lives. Where did you get that habit? Where did you get that reaction? You know what I mean? It's a good thing that we can recognize that and realize, like when you were saying earlier in your example, I got angry, so I went to her. Remember that? Now, it was in a godly thing, you knew this as a Christian, but it was an anger. That's how the world reacts when I get angry. What if it didn't bother you at all? We probably wouldn't have heard that story. How many times do we see a Christian sinning? But I don't think it's a bad sin. That's no big deal. Do y'all get this?
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, we see something simple on like hair and divorce and stuff like that. And we give an example. Well, you know, they weren't too happy. And we got this man who has real long hair. Well, I think that's nothing wrong with it. And we have nothing wrong with it. I agree. And by sight, there's nothing wrong with it. Why did the Bible say it? Somebody in the Bible is going, but the Bible says this. That's what I got to do. That's how I have to see it. And we have to be particular on every step so somebody doesn't distort it. We're not doing that. We're not. We let somebody give us a few pieces here and there while we still act worldly. And that's why you go out in the world right now. And what we should see is this light. That's the Christian. In other words, amongst the people. But what we're seeing is a bunch of people. And we're going, okay, Christians, please raise your hand.
Nah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So, it's, you know, I'm glad she asked that question because like, I bet you we're not alone. You know, I've asked that question to us before where I said, where the Bible says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And I think I told y'all do a homework, not to turn it into me, but it's a good thing. And maybe we bring it up and we talk about it. How do you eat to the glory of God? How do you drink to the glory of God? So with me eating that ice cream, glorify God. I'm going to tell you, yes, it will. No, I don't know. It depends. And it's going to be depending on different things. But I have to know his will. Right? There's a universal will, which we get in the Bible, but then there's a particular will each and every day for situations that I'm in that I'll only know when I'm walking that perception of him because I'm renewing my mind. Hopefully everybody gets that. It's not as complex as it seems, But we make it more complex because we still want to do it the way the world does, by sight instead of by faith. Excellent question. So thank you for putting that out there. And if you still don't get it, don't beat yourself up. It's something that you're going to grow into because you're not alone. But you did put that question out there. So it's good that you did. So as we saw here, it says, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desire, but rather for the will of God. So the main purpose is the will of God, not with what I want. You will totally leave something you really want because it doesn't fit the will of God. Y'all hear me talk about the young lady that I knew growing up. And the one guy, he was popular and all this, really liked her. She would keep blowing him off. And years later, she was married with kids and all this. And I asked her, I said, "Joe, you didn't really like him." She said, "I was crazy about him." She was like, "But he would have been the worst thing for me." Now, for a girl she was like 13 or 14 and going to, 15 to 16 around that age, to have that godly frame of mind to know, oh, this is not good for me, but I really desire, that's huge. And we as adults can't do that nowadays. We as Christians still make these crazy decisions. We distort it so we want God to fit us because we're living for our human desire and not living for the will of God. Think about it. And that's hurting us. That's really causing a problem with us, right? And if we don't recognize that, we're going to keep doing that same pattern. That's why we're as Christians where we're at. And that's why I have here, do not expect a non-Christian to understand the correct way of dealing with issues. And this is what breaks our heart, because a lot of us as Christians are still living like non-Christians. You'll hear this and you'll struggle with it because you're always still thinking like the world does. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit. Watch this, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So when I showed you in Romans 12, it's showing me how to have the mindset of being spiritual, right? I'm stopping. I'm going to clearly stop doing it the way the world does. That's fleshly. And only do the way God says. That's spiritual. And the only way I'll know this, I have to know the word, understand the word, apply the word, repeat. Okay, that's the instructions. That's how I would do it. And I would keep following that pattern. And the more I keep following that pattern, the more spiritual I become, the more it makes sense to me. I'll hear the word, and the more you'll go, oh, got it. And you'll know when somebody says something that's not spiritual, you go, that's nonsense. And they'll use the Bible, but you'll be able to do like Jesus and go, yeah, but it's also written. You'll know that. Why? Because you're spiritually, the Spirit is discerning it, not you. It won't be foolishness to you because you're being led by the Spirit. Let's do this last one, then we'll close. No, there is no way. Let me see how much I have to do next time. Oh, well, we have little to do next time. So we'll see how that goes after our review, and then maybe we'll start another one. But I want to close on this one. No, there is no way we can see or help the wrong in someone else unless we see and acknowledge the wrong in us. This is so necessary. One reason why most people don't go to other people for help is because we don't help, we judge. I bet you there are people, and I remember somebody made a comment, there's a lot of wrong I did, I probably wouldn't have done if there was somebody I could go to. How many of you had that same thing? But you know, the minute you bring it to them, instead of them helping you, they'll judge you. We got too many judges, too many people. Now, what we don't realize is when somebody comes, whatever they're dealing with and struggling with, I have to say, they're just like me. I know you're going, no, I'm not like them. No, no, no. Yes, you are. Okay. The struggle they're having is a struggle, just like you have struggles. Okay. And we all have struggles. And that's what this part is showing in Luke 6, 41 through 42. My job is never to tell you the answer. My job is to help you see the answer. But if I don't realize the answer, I can't help you to see the answer. That's what it says when it says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes? That's the thing blocking him from seeing, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. Have you ever seen somebody get mad at somebody for something they're doing wrong, and everybody else is looking at that person going, I know he didn't say that. Now you just blew it. Why? Because they're hearing you get mad at them over something that everybody knows you do. And you're getting mad at me? Seriously? See, right now, it's all gone. God's out the picture. You ruined it. Nobody's going to change. They're too busy talking about you. You're too blind to see it. But when I have a plank, that's why he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself have a plank in your own eye? And why he says, you hypocrite. Is he saying, because you're in the same part, he's saying, first take the plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. You would approach them with the mindset of, that I probably have no place of saying this, and I'm probably doing something that I don't see, but I'm a little concerned because I've seen this happening in your life. You see the difference? It's not a, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Now, the minute you say that, they're going, well, look at you. You see the problem? Right now, you've solved nothing. Now you're in an argument. You're probably going to separate. They're not wanting to talk to you anyway. They're avoiding you. I told you, I had one aunt in church, and we avoided all the kids. It was a known thing. Avoided her. Why? And she meant well, but the meaning well and being well are two different things. It's because she judged us. Man, she made us all feel like we were just the worst things on earth. She'd look at us like, I know you kids are up no good. And we'd always, and maybe we were, but that's not the way to handle it. You understand what I mean? Okay, it was one of those in which she should have sat down and talked to us and help us to see, not talk down to us as if everything she did is perfect, because we were trying to live up to her standard. We didn't know what that was. But when I removed the plank out of my eye, it makes me know, Keith, you're flawed. So help that person over there that's flawed by letting them know you're flawed. Right? The more gentle and accepting and understanding, the more helpful you are. God doesn't want your answers. He wants you to help them to see. It's about perception. Think about that. Any questions? All right. Praise God. Take all that stuff in mind. Make sure you look through it, understand it, get to know.